At this point, I'm going to invite our speaker up. It's Carol Umberger is our guest speaker for, well, not guest, you're a regular here. She's going to be sharing our faith story. It has been my joy to get to know Carol over the past 4 years, I think. Yeah, but I could list all the things that she does, but then we'd be here for another extra half an hour. So I'm just going to let you share your story.
Thank you, Mike. I was really glad when Pastor Mike asked me to come and share my faith journey with you, and I'm going to try not to be nervous about doing so, but my favorite picture of my grandmother is of her holding me on the steps of Trinity Lutheran Church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, on the day that I was baptized. My family attended church regularly. It's what you did in the 1950s, and yes, I am that old. We moved a lot as my dad changed jobs, and when I was 12, we attended a small country church where the part-time pastor was also a doctor. My mom was expecting brother number 3. The baby came fast, and they couldn't make it to the hospital where mom's doctor practiced. So they ended up at the small hospital where our pastor had privileges. The pastor was the doctor who delivered my baby brother and performed the circumcision. The pastor happened to be drunk at the time. And baby Brian bled out and died as a result of the botched operation. As you might imagine, my mom dealt with her grief by refusing to attend church. She got over her anger at God, but I doubt that she ever forgave that pastor, and it was years before she set foot in a church again, except for funerals and weddings. My brother Joel was born a year later, and a year after that, we moved to Fleetwood, Pennsylvania, in what was our last move. We did not look for a church to attend, and from the time I was 12 until my early 30s, I didn't attend church much, if at all. And yet I maintained a relationship with God, and I suppose I have those early years of church attendance and Sunday school to thank for that, as well as people like my great aunt Gertrude, who gave me a Bible when I was confirmed. And we had a neighbor who asked me to help her at VBS at her church one summer. God is like that. He sends people into your life to let you know he's still there. I attended college, and I managed to graduate with a decent GPA well, let's just say it was the 1960s, and college was fun. I'm sure that many of my lifestyle choices did not honor God. Meanwhile, to Mom and Dad's credit, they sent my brothers to a local church for confirmation and youth group. The pastor there was a dynamic and loving man of God, and eventually, exposure to Pastor Bruce led my mom and dad back to church and strengthened their faith, and that is no small thing. I could tell you stories about Bruce, but we'll move on. After graduation from college, I enlisted in the Air Force, and I took advantage of base chapel programs like their Friday night coffee houses, which allowed us to socialize with other airmen while being mentored by some amazing chaplains. I believed, but I wasn't praying or living a particularly God-honoring life. And I wasn't done with the poor life choices. In 1976, I married a fellow airman with a troubled past. We were married in church, but God really wasn't invited to be part of the ceremony, and he certainly wasn't part of our lives. 2 years later, we separated and were headed for divorce. All my hopes and dreams were shattered, and I felt so lost and alone. My parents paid for me to fly home, so I took leave and went back home for a short time to lick my wounds. What I'm going to tell you next still amazes me. It is proof that no matter how far we drift from God's path for our lives, no matter how hard and how often we push God away, he will never desert us. And he's also not shy about pushing us out of our comfort zone. By this time, my parents were attending church again, so I went with them, despite feeling lost, rejected, and further than ever from God. We went up for communion, and as I knelt at the rail, suddenly I was surrounded by a blinding light. Everything else disappeared into the light, and clear as day, I heard a voice say, "I am." And again, "I am." Then the light disappeared and everything came back into focus. Why did God do this? I like to say it's the only way you can reach a stubborn German. You need a 2x4. God definitely got my attention. And as I marveled at this experience, I realized that what I'd been searching for in all my questionable choices, I was searching to be loved and valued, to belong, and to experience a deeper meaning for my life. And all of that could be found in Jesus. My faith was now unshakable, but that still didn't translate into attending church or regular fellowship. But I believed. After 5 years of enlisted time, I was accepted into Air Force Officer Training School. At 6 weeks, I became an upperclassman, and my job was to welcome our lower class and assign them their rooms and generally be in charge of them in the absence of their flight commander. They happened to report in on my birthday. And what should walk into the day room but 6'3" of handsome, dressed in a 3-piece suit. Happy birthday to me. His name was Tom, and I made sure he received enough demerits to keep him on base every weekend so I could keep my eye on him. Over time, I learned that he was a man of deep faith, who was unfailingly loyal, and who had a strong sense of integrity. We were married 15 months later by a wonderful, charismatic Catholic priest who had laid hands on Tom and healed him of a serious case of blood poisoning. Eventually, we became a family of four, and I left the Air Force to be a full-time mom. Best job ever. While Tom got his master's degree, I kept busy with our two boys and joined a local MOPS group, Mothers of Preschoolers. Now, like any marriage, we've had our ups and downs, but God has been beside us through it all. I might mention we weren't attending church yet. At one particular low point, I considered packing up the boys and going back to Pennsylvania for a while. I was feeling pretty low and sorry for myself, and I asked God for help, and through a friend at MOPS, God nudged me to attend a nearby church. So one Sunday, I took the boys, and guess what the sermon was about? Marriage. I do not believe in coincidences. The message resonated, and the boys and I stayed put and started attending church regularly. Not long after that, we were assigned to Monterey, California, where we found a wonderful church that we attended as a family, and Tom and I sang in the choir. Our next assignment was Colorado Springs, and another great church family where I coordinated the VBS program and sang in that choir as well. We were in the Springs for 12 years, and during this time, I was a professional volunteer, and I served on several nonprofit board of directors, serving as president of the Officers' Wives Club, as well as president of a local chapter of a national writers organization. Then we moved to Bellevue, Nebraska, and between the move and an empty nest and menopause, I struggled with depression that I could not shake on my own. So again, God sent people into my life. He sent a wonderful nurse practitioner and a Christian counselor to help me, and after 18 months of treatment, the cloud lifted. In Bellevue, we attended Thanksgiving Lutheran Church. It was the largest church I'd ever been part of. There were 1,200 worshipers every weekend. Pastor Glenn and Pastor David are two amazing men of God. Our third pastor at the time was well-versed in various healing ministries, and he led Ignatian silent retreats. I'm going to fix this cough before it starts. Over the years, I attended a dozen such retreats, and God met me there so many times in revelation of what he wanted for me and from me. Over and over, he pushed me out of my comfort zone. I completed the Cleansing Stream curriculum and their training, and I became a retreat prayer minister. Then I was ministered to by the Restoring the Foundations ministry, and I received unbelievable healing from the Holy Spirit, healing in mind, body, and spirit. I took that training as well and became an RTF prayer minister and helped others to receive the Holy Spirit's healing. Come on, cough drop, you can do this. Okay. I loved what I was doing, and I was gratified that God pushed me and that I accepted his call. What I didn't know at the time was that God had been healing me and preparing me for an Esther moment. I was elected to the church council, and with my previous experience of working on well-functioning boards, I was dismayed by how they were doing things. Just to clarify, churches call them councils, but they should function, the same as any other board of directors. That first year on council, I silently fumed and I wondered what I was doing there. Then I got a strong nudge from God that he wanted me to preside and to teach them how to function properly. Really, God? But I didn't say anything to anybody. If it was to be, I trusted that God would make it happen. And sure enough, Pastor Glenn called and asked me if I would accept being president. And so after some more prayer and discussing it with Tom, I agreed. Now, I didn't change things single-handedly. God had placed two or three other people on the council who saw the same things that I did and had similar skills. And we hired an outside coach to help us. And through the process, we became a healthy, effective, and biblically sound governance system. It was the most rewarding 2 years of my life, and also the most challenging. But God, the great I Am, was with me every step of the way. And Thanksgiving continues to be a thriving and growing congregation. All of this was made possible because I stepped out of my comfort zone and said yes to God. You can't retire from God's work, but you can slow down some. And it was totally God's doing that we moved to Wisconsin and found this wonderful church. He has allowed me to find ways to serve here at Shepherd, and when I took on too much, he gave me peace in saying no. When my mom and sister-in-law died within weeks of each other in December of 2021, God wrapped my family in his love and comforted us with his promise of eternal life. Now, if there's one thing to take away from this testimony, it is not, wow, Carol is really blessed and special. No, I certainly am blessed. I have a solid marriage, two amazing sons, and four awesome grandchildren, and the pictures to prove it, just ask. But I'm not special. I'm just an ordinary person serving an extraordinary, amazing, loving, forgiving, and healing God. I try not to put God in a box, because even the biggest box that you can imagine cannot hold him. He is not a little g God. He's a big G God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that's at work in us. And to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.